Chapter 5 The Future of Islamic Extremism. What threat does Islamic extremism pose to the West? What are the roots of Islamic extremism? What role does Islam itself play in fueling Islamic extremism? What are the key objectives of Islamic extremists? How likely are Islamic extremists to achieve those objectives? What factors will affect the future of Islamic extremism? What role do moderate Muslims play in fighting Islamic extremism? How long will Islamic extremism pose a threat to global security? Lee Kuan Yew's answers to these questions reflect the fact that Singapore's neighbors are Muslim countries and that Singapore has been a potential target of terrorist attacks. What threat does Islamic extremism pose to the West?
The big divide is no longer between communist and democratic countries, or between West and East. Now it is between Muslim terrorists and the U.S., Israel, and their supporters. A secondary battle is between militant Islam and non-militant modernist Islam. We are faced with a new situation, never faced before in the history of civilization. We have a group of people willing to destroy themselves to inflict damages on others. The only ones before them were the Tamil Tigers, but they were fighting for a tangible cause, for a homeland for Tamils in Sri Lanka. This is fighting for Islam, a different cause springing from a religious conviction. Al-Qaeda-style terrorism is new and unique because it is global. An event in Morocco can excite the passions of extremist groups in Indonesia. There is a shared fanatical zealousness among these different extremists around the world. This surge in Islamist terrorism will take years to tamp down. In the meantime, the world is at risk of these terrorists acquiring weapons of mass destruction. Were that to happen, the slaughter would be horrendous. The nuclear programs of rogue states, therefore, must be stopped, and their stockpiles of weapons and material confiscated. Islam is not a problem. However, contemporary radical Islam, or Islamism, is a problem. Oil without Islamism can be a problem, but Islamism plus oil becomes a volatile mix. Islamism plus oil plus weapons of mass destruction equals a threat. A nuclear-capable Iran will significantly alter the geopolitical balance. Other countries in the Middle East will also want nuclear weapons, increasing the chances that fissile material for WMD, weapons of mass destruction, will fall into terrorist hands.
What are the roots of Islamic extremism?
The Israeli-Palestinian conflict is not the cause of Islamic terrorism. Among Muslims, especially in the Middle East, there is a profound belief that their time has come and that the West has put them down for too long. While pan-Arab nationalism failed to unite the Muslim world in the 1950s and 1960s, Islamic fervor has become an alternative unifying force. Militant Islam feeds upon the insecurities and alienation that globalization generates among the less successful. And because globalization is largely U.S.-led and driven, militant Islam identifies America and Americans as the threat to Islam. That America steadfastly supports Israel aggravates their sense of threat. But terrorism would continue even if the Middle East problem were solved. Ever since the founding of Israel, Arabs in the Middle East have been taught to hate Israelis and Jews in their schools, madrasas, and mosques, reinforced regularly by repeated media images of powerful Israeli military incursions into the occupied Palestinian territories. After 40 years of patchy economic development, many Arabs feel anger and humiliation that their once glorious Islamic civilization has been diminished by the West, especially America, and corrupted by its licentious culture. Ending the Palestinian conflict will deprive extremists of a convenient rallying point. But unless militant groups in the Arab countries and Islamic theocracies are seen to fail, Jamaa Islamiyah and other militant groups in the non-Arab Muslim world will continue to recruit extremists. Even if there is an Israeli-Palestinian settlement, the U.S. and its Western allies must ensure that Islamic militancy is defeated by economic, military, and other means to clearly demonstrate to non-Arab Muslims that fanaticism and militancy have no future. The nature of Islam in Southeast Asia has been changing over the last 30 years. First and foremost, after the price of oil quadrupled in 1973, Saudi Arabia has generously financed the missionary movement by building mosques and religious schools and paying for preachers throughout the world, spreading the teachings and practices of its austere version of Wahhabist Islam. Next, the overthrow of the Shah in Iran in 1979 has had a profound impact on Muslim beliefs in Islam's power. Finally, the participation of large numbers of Southeast Asian Muslims in the jihad in Afghanistan during the 1980s and the 1990s has radicalized significant numbers of the Southeast Asian Muslims. When we asked our Muslims, "Why have you become so strict in your religious practices?" they answered, "Because we are better educated and so understand better what must be observed." But the bigger factor is the peer pressure from the heart of the Muslim world. With the increase in religiosity worldwide as a result of Saudi funding of mosques, madrasas, and religious teachers, whole populations are geared up. Then some of those in a high pitch are hijacked by the extremist radicals to become jihadists. Al-Qaeda and their local extremists recruit from the mosques those who look suitable for their own private religious classes, where they are taught that it is the duty of all good Muslims to fight for all oppressed Muslims worldwide and, if necessary, to die for the cause, to become martyrs. In Southeast Asia, the Muslims are different. They are relaxed, easy to get on with. But over the last 30-odd years, since the oil crisis and the petrodollars became a major factor in the Muslim world, the extremists have been proselytizing, building mosques, religious schools, where they teach Wahhabism, sending out preachers, and having conferences. Globalizing, networking, and slowly they have convinced the Southeast Asian Muslims, and indeed Muslims throughout the world, that the gold standard is Saudi Arabia, that is the real good Muslim.
What role does Islam itself play in fueling Islamic extremism?
Muslims want to assimilate us. It is one-way traffic. They have no confidence in allowing choice. Samuel Huntington sent me a piece he was writing in Foreign Affairs called The Clash of Civilizations. When I saw him, I said, "Look, I agree with you only where the Muslims are concerned, only there. Hinduism, Chinese Confucianism or Communism, Japanese Shintoism, they are secular, really. They know that to progress, you must master science and technology. But the Muslims believe that if they master the Quran and they are prepared to do all that Muhammad has prescribed, they will succeed. So we can expect trouble from them, and so it happened." Muslims socially do not cause any trouble, but they are distinct and separate. Islam is exclusive.
What are the key objectives of Islamic extremists?
Islamists believe the time is ripe to reassert Islam's supremacy. The jihadists among them have chosen Iraq as their second battleground. Their goal is to drive the Americans out of Iraq, just as they drove the Soviets out of Afghanistan. Radical Islamic groups in several countries want to engineer a clash of civilizations, and oil power has given them the means. What Osama bin Laden wants is to get all of the oil of the Gulf states and institute Taliban-like regimes. Then he will have all the industrialized countries, Christian Europe, America, Japan, China, by the throat. Then they will be able to have their Muslim caliphates across the world. Has the situation in Iraq made terrorism worse? In the short term, yes. But terrorism was already set to get worse. Before the war in Iraq, jihadist acolytes in Singapore, Indonesia, The Philippines, Spain, Holland, England, and many other countries were being prepared for martyrdom by their imams. The jihadists want to destroy Israel and drive the U.S. out of the oil states of the Gulf. This witch's brew of hate would have been on boil regardless of U.S. actions in Iraq or Afghanistan. The random killing will go on for years and will stop only when the jihadists and their teachers realize that instead of bending it to their will, the bombing of innocent people has turned the world, including many Muslim countries such as Jordan, against them.
How likely are Islamic extremists to achieve those objectives?
The Al-Qaeda Islamic extremists believe that by repeated huge suicide bombings, they can drive the Americans out of the Middle East, destroy America, and frighten Europe, and thereby keep their Muslim societies pure and pious, as in the 7th century. They cannot succeed, because technology will continue to develop and change our economies and our lifestyles, whether we are Christians, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, atheists, or agnostics. I do not see the Islamic extremists winning, and by that I mean able to impose their extremist system. I can see them inducing fear and insecurity and causing fear, but they do not have the technology and the organization to overwhelm any government. They want to create a caliphate that comprises Malaysia, Indonesia, the southern Philippines, and Singapore. It is absurd, not achievable. Why should Thai, Malaysian, or Filipino Muslims give up power and surrender sovereignty to this caliphate led by Indonesians? It may take another 20, 30 years, but the theocratic state will fail, and successive failures in the Muslim world will show that the theocratic state, like the communist state, is a mirage. Islamist terrorists will gradually lose their capacity to strike such fear in Europe and the U.S., as these countries take stiff and comprehensive measures to counter them. If Muslims in Europe and the U.S. do not distance themselves and expose these terrorists in their midst, they will be feared and ostracized. They will find it difficult to get good jobs. In Muslim countries, it is a matter of time before the moderate Muslims have to put down the extremists, or they will end up with Taliban governments in charge of them, as in Afghanistan. With the killing of Osama bin Laden, the Islamic extremist movement has been franchised out, and each group works on its own. It is accordingly more diverse and difficult to pin down. At the same time, however, splinter terrorist groups do not have the intellectual capacity to imagine and execute attacks on the scale of 9/11.
What factors will affect the future of Islamic extremism?
Whether Islamic extremism is a bigger or smaller problem 10, 15, or 25 years from now depends on what happens in the oil states, particularly Saudi Arabia. The costs of leaving Iraq unstable would be high. Jihadists everywhere would be emboldened. A few years ago, the Taliban in Afghanistan and Saddam Hussein's Iraq were a check on Iran. The Taliban is again gathering strength, and a Taliban victory in Afghanistan or Pakistan would reverberate throughout the Muslim world. It would influence the grand debate among Muslims on the future of Islam. A severely retrograde form of Islam would be seen to have defeated modernity twice. First, the Soviet Union, then the United States. There would be profound consequences, especially in the campaign against terrorism. If the United States leaves Iraq prematurely, jihadists everywhere will be emboldened to take the battle to Washington and its friends and allies. Having defeated the Russians in Afghanistan and the United States in Iraq, they will believe that they can change the world. Even worse, if civil war breaks out in Iraq, the conflict will destabilize the whole Middle East, as it will draw in Egypt, Iran, Jordan, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Syria, and Turkey. If U.S. forces leave Iraq precipitately because of terrorist attacks, Muslim terrorists throughout the world will be triumphant. Where the Vietnamese were content to see Americans leave and to concentrate on building socialism in Vietnam, Islamic militants will pursue departing Americans to all corners of the globe. If the militants succeed in thwarting the U.S. in Iraq, their zealousness to die in pursuit of an Islamic caliphate spanning the globe will reach new heights.
What role do moderate Muslims play in fighting Islamic extremism?
Only Muslims can win this struggle. Moderate, modernizing Muslims, political, religious, civic leaders together have to make the case against the fundamentalists. But the strong, developed countries can help. The NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, allies must present a solid bloc. Muslim modernizers must feel that the U.S. and its allies will provide the resources, energy, and support to make them winners. No one wants to be on the losing side. Only Muslims themselves, those with a moderate, more modern approach to life, can fight the fundamentalists for control of the Muslim soul. Muslims must counter the terrorist ideology that is based on a perverted interpretation of Islam. This battle will be joined when the fundamentalist Islamic terrorists seek to displace their present Muslim leaders, as they must if they are to set up their version of the Islamic State. I did talk about extremist terrorists like the Jama'a Islamiyya group and the jihadist preachers who brainwash them. They are implacable in wanting to put down all who do not agree with them. So their Islam is a perverted version, which the overwhelming majority of Muslims in Singapore do not subscribe to. I also pointed out that our Muslim leaders are rational, and that the ultimate solution to extremist terrorism was to give moderate Muslims the courage to stand up and speak out against radicals who have hijacked Islam to recruit volunteers for their violent ends. Lee's denial that he called Islam a venomous religion in a July 2005 meeting with Hillary Clinton and Charles Rangel. At first sight, this is a struggle between extremist radicals in the Muslim world on one side, and America, Israel, and their Western allies on the other. But look deeper, and you will see that at its heart, it is a struggle about what Islam means between the extremist Muslims and the rationalist Muslims, between fundamentalist Muslims and modernist Muslims. Eventually, the fight will boil down to one between Muslims who want to return to the Islam of the 11th century, when Islam shut out the outside world and cut itself off from new ideas, and those who want to see a modern Islam attuned to the 21st century. If the West were to reach a consensus and agree on their strategy against terrorists, as it did during the Cold War, then together with Japan, China, and Russia, moderate Muslims who want to modernize their societies would have confidence and courage to take on the extremists and stop them from producing more terrorists. Moderates in the Muslim world, by not being able to take a stand and take the lead and start the argument with the extremists in the mosques, in the madrasas, they are ducking the issue and allowing the extremists to hijack not just Islam, but the whole of the Muslim community. The majority of Muslims have nothing to do with terrorism or extremism. However, militant terrorist groups have hijacked Islam as their driving force and have given it a virulent twist. Throughout the Muslim world, the militants are out to impose their version of Islam. The majority of Muslims who are moderates are caught in between, one, their sympathy for and identification with the Palestinians and anger against the Israelis, and two, their desire for a peaceful life of growth and progress. To resolve the problem of terrorism, the U.S. and others must support the tolerant, non-militant Muslims so that they will prevail. To stop the increase in terrorist recruits, the U.S. and Europe must discredit extremist ideology, which takes Quranic passages out of context, preaches hatred against non-Muslims, and seeks to spread Islam through violence. Muslims who want to be a part of the modern world of science and technology must confront and stop these Islamists from preaching violence and hatred. They must get the Muslim scholars and religious teachers to preach that Islam is a religion of peace, not terror, and that it is tolerant of other peoples and their faiths. In countries where Muslims are a minority, as in Britain, they must take a clear-cut stand against Islamist terrorists. In Muslim countries such as Pakistan and Iraq, Muslims will be forced to confront the Islamists or witness their governments being overthrown and their people dragged back into a feudal past, just as the Taliban did in Afghanistan. The United States must be more multilateral in its approach to isolating jihadist groups and rally Europe, Russia, China, India, and all non-Muslim governments to its cause, along with many moderate Muslims. A worldwide coalition is necessary to fight the fires of hatred that the Islamist fanatics are fanning. When moderate Muslim governments, such as those in Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Persian Gulf states, Egypt, and Jordan, feel comfortable associating themselves openly with multilateral coalition against Islamist terrorism, the tide of battle will turn against the extremists. To make the long-term burden sustainable, the U.S. needs a broad alliance to spread the load to reduce excessive burdens on itself. It needs others to agree on the basic causes and solutions. It is not poverty, it is not deprivation, it is something more fundamental. A resurgence of Arab and Islamic pride and a belief that their time has come. The objective must be to reassure and persuade moderate Muslims that they are not going to lose, that they have the weight, the resources of the world behind them. They must have the courage to go into the mosque and madrasas and switch off the radicals.
How long will Islamic extremism pose a threat to global security?
Islamic terrorism has been brewing since the 1970s and cannot be taken off the boil easily or soon. The war against terrorism will be long and arduous. Terrorists, the existence of weapons of mass destruction, and the continuing Israeli-Palestinian conflict will be threats for many years. Islamic terrorism is going to be a problem for this world for a very long time, and that problem will not change whoever wins the 2004 U.S. presidential elections. The problem of Islamic terrorism will not be easily extirpated. Moderate Muslims have to be encouraged to stand up and speak out against radicalism. They need confidence that they can. We can get to the tipping point, but I do not know how long it will take. Islamic terrorists will continue to use violence until shown that their methods will not succeed. If they are successful in Iraq, then they will try to topple secular governments in other countries, such as Indonesia. Americans make the mistake of seeking largely a military solution. You must use force, but force will only deal with the tip of the problem. In killing the terrorists, you will only kill the worker bees. The queen bees are the preachers who teach a deviant form of Islam in schools and Islamic centers, who capture and twist the minds of the young. Terrorists say, "I will be happy to die a martyr. After me, there will be a million others." We should learn to live with the Pakistan terror nexus for a long time. My fear is Pakistan may well get worse.